Welcome to Mortgage Sales Playbook. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. My podcasts are where top producers, sales leaders, and industry experts share strategies that drive real sales success. No fluff, just actionable insights to help you master the art of selling and leading. Today, we're going to talk about market volatility and maintaining profitability. I have the perfect expert, Jeff Sheeran. Jeff is an expert and brilliant, explains it better than anybody I know in mortgage banking, about the capital market sides in the real world of managing a lender. He is president and chief operating officer at Fulton Mortgage Company, a division of Fulton Bank. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon, Pat. How are you?
This is, as I mentioned, I asked you months ago, and now we're coming to really volatility and really a day-to-day thrill, to say the least. And so I wanted to open up to hear kind of your general thoughts. As you mentioned in our brief, you know, talk, that you've seen this before. So talk about in the big picture about that, and then we'll get down to how can a lender be profitable during these really uncertain times.
Yeah, so I don't know if I've seen this particular market before, but certainly volatility in the markets over my career. Some of the most extreme ones I've seen, you know, are in 2003, coming out of the 02 refi boom, and then, of course, the financial crisis, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac going into receivership. There are all kinds of challenges when it comes to hedging a pipeline that, you know, can make protecting the profitability on every loan a big challenge. So I am empathetic to all the secondary marketing heads out there who are probably going through quite a bit of emotion these past couple of days. I've been there, so I feel you. Yeah, this is unprecedented, Pat. I wondered how much we could really talk about, because you almost have to throw economics 101 out the window a little bit, right? Because the market is trading on fear and uncertainty opposed to fundamentals, because the fundamentals have to be reset. I mean, until that's known, it doesn't know what to do. It's looking for direction. So everything's being driven by headlines, and it's difficult.
Well, it was interesting. One of the comments, and as an ex-capital markets person myself, one of the rules of golden rules of thumb is that the U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. And that's always been the case. And even when we've had some difficult markets, this has always still been our wonderful viability of our financial markets, is that the U.S. Treasury has been a safe haven. But certainly there is now, and what you're seeing with the treasuries is that they're not operating in the way that we've expected, and certainly, or what they have in the past. And the question about whether they are a safe haven really comes into play. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, and then tie that together with the wonderful world of our housing finance market, because it, you know, our funding is coming off of that debt. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, so yeah, the treasuries are typically a safe haven and trade, you know, opposite of stock markets, right? So we did experience that when the tariffs were introduced, you know, stock markets sold off and the treasury yield dropped below 4%. And then it started to edge back up as markets kind of rethought, what does the tariffs truly mean for inflation and the economy in general? It's, you know, treasuries are still a safe haven, hasn't gone away, but there's other variables that are impacting how they're trading today, right? And some of it is, you know, there's a rumor overnight when they yields went up as quickly as they did overnight, was it because a fund had to liquidate treasuries to cover a margin call? Who knows what's going on out there? But demand for treasuries is a changing dynamic in a tariff trade war, right? So you know, how that shakes out is yet to be determined. So what we're seeing in the meantime is, you know, stocks selling off and yields going up. So, which is, you know, not what you typically see. And I, you know, the 10-year yield certainly drives mortgage-backed securities and mortgage rates. You know, that spread that has typically been in the 170 to 180 range, 170 to 180 basis points above the 10-year treasury, has widened, right? So it's gotten above that and it's stuck there. So does that change even more given the environment, change with the changes that are going on with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, with Bo Pulte in charge of FHFA?
Yeah.
There's so much going on. We just have to let it play out.
Well, talk about from your capital market standpoint, but also ahead of a mortgage company. How do you, at the capital market side, my question, like, how do you hedge to this? And how do you protect yourself? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And when you look at as running a lender shop, how do you, in other words, how do you maintain your margins? And talk about some of your thoughts on that.
Well, a couple things. One, you just got to be watching it much more closely in this moment than you would otherwise. I mean, you should always be, have a good oversight of your position, but almost micromanaging, right? So, with this kind of volatility, the dynamics of duration change and how the coupon price swings change and how they effectively cover, the changes in the market versus the change in your pipeline, all of it has to be watched very, very closely. So, that's why I'm empathetic to all those secondary marketing and capital markets heads out there, because I'm sure that they're doing deep dives into to assumptions and everything else to make sure they've got a handle on things. I remember, talking to bond traders during periods of volatility, and I've always said, rates are going to do what they're going to do. All we can do is, keep an eye on it, make sure we feel comfortable with our position, and change with the market. So it's just keeping up is really the name of the game.
So do you see it as something that you want to be like 100% hedged, or would that obviously should have been done beforehand? But as you well know, some of these people play the market and it really is not a good strategy, but that's another story into itself. But in this market, if you haven't done anything before from a hedging standpoint, and now you're amongst this, well, how do you see that playing out?
You never want to be 100% covered. You never want
Sure.
to be too uncovered, right? This is it really does come down to the fundamentals of making sure the mechanics are doing what they expected them to do. So prior to this market, there was assumptions in the hedge model that said, if the market moves 50 basis points, 100 basis points, you should expect this. Well, did that happen? And if it didn't, then how are you adjusting your assumptions accordingly and as quickly as possible, right? So you're not waiting till you're 3, 4, 5 days into it. You're looking at them, from the moment you start to see volatility. Hedge ratios are going to hit a whipsaw in this market, right? You're going to get longer because your pull-through assumptions are going to get higher in some cases, and then vice versa as markets turn around. So it's just keeping up with it and making sure that you know everything that's going on in the dynamics of that position.
So let's put on your lender's hat and let's talk about, obviously, how does all of this volatility and how do we manage at the Salesforce level, at our customer level, all of these issues that really have people pretty much on the edge?
Well, I think for us, we give all our loan officers the tools that we can to be as informed as they can be, right? So, as a lender, I want to make sure that our pipelines are protected, our customers are protected, and that our loan officers who are out there making calls and taking applications feel protected in a market that is just all over the place. So, having patience on both sides, just keeping the Salesforce informed as much as possible, asking your loan officers and sales managers to maybe, don't push too heavy on the secondary marketing desk during these stressful times, with, hey, did you get my lock, and make sure it's protected? All that's important, but everybody's calling at once. It makes it very difficult. So it's really just trying to set the expectations of good communication and, making sure that everybody feels good that, we're taking care of the customer at the end of the day.
So, have you amped up more explaining to that internally, or is it assuming loan officers don't use the tools, which is typically a lot of the case? So, are you having to give more talking points because obviously you have a lot of nervous people from the consumer standpoint, in addition to the sales force? So, have you had to amp that up, or is it something that, it's an older workforce and they've seen this before?
Yeah, a lot of it is we've seen it before, but I think our secondary marketing department does a good job of keeping sales informed, right? So, hey, here's what to expect, bleeding into just an example, there's days where economic indicators come out that are certain ones that create volatility, right? Non-farm payroll being one. We'll set the tone and expectation, right? So the secondary marketing will say, we expect volatility, so we might close a desk down tomorrow morning at 7:30, so we have time to fix our positions before the number comes out at 8:30, and we open it back up. But it also communicating some expectations as you go. We just had, regional meetings, where we visited the regions throughout our footprint, And
right.
our secondary head of secondary marketing gave an update to everybody there, current marketing conditions, kind of his thoughts, what to think. And then with the tools that we give them, you know, I think they're pretty well informed, to your point, the ones that use them, because not everybody sure. does. But
yes,
the back, you know, the ones that use them sometimes throw it back at us too, right? Yeah. We expected rates to get better than they did this morning. What happened?
Good point. Yeah, good point. So have you seen, how has all of this impacted, let's say, from the volume standpoint? Are you seeing the consumers still moving forward? This is our spring season, which is in essence when we do business. Yeah. Or are you seeing people stay on the fence? Have you seen people's pricing at the housing component? Has that in essence come down? Or what do you see going on currently?
Yeah, I've had a chance to talk to a few realtors, and at least locally, and the sentiment is the inventory is a little higher than it was last year.
Gotcha.
But properties are moving quickly still, right? So there's still a lot of showings. They're still moving fairly fast. I do think that, you know, people are getting used to the current interest rate environment a little more than they were a year or two ago. The psychological standpoint of a 6% interest rate is probably easier to swallow than it was last year and the year before that. So people are coming into the market and not necessarily, they get to a point where they can't wait anymore, right? So they need to make decisions and they can't mm-hmm. wait for rates to come down. So buyers are there. In fact, you know, where we're seeing the most growth this year, that is new construction and
mm-hmm.
and first-time home buyers. You know, first-time home buyer products are over 150% year over year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask that question. Are those first-time home buyers able to qualify? And it sounds like they are.
Yeah, so. we're getting a lot of qualifications.
So do you also, Jeff, see, and I'm curious about the famous adjustable rate loan product, which is a way to actually protect the lender. Do you see that becoming popular, or is it still we're always in our fixed rate world?
You know, I think we do a lot more adjustable rate mortgages than most. Mm-hmm. And that may be just because we do a good amount of jumbo rate mortgages, right? Or jumbo mortgages. They're less available on the conforming side, you know, with liquidity challenges, banks said in 2023, which is the primary driver of conforming adjustable rate mortgages, because the secondary market isn't always there for them. You know, we do a bit more. So I think, you know, there's demand for them because, you know, they give those borrowers a better intro rate. So we see more than most. I haven't seen a demand shift one way or the other.
Right. Yeah. We always think that product's going to take off.
Yeah.
It never does. It doesn't. So talk about from a profitability standpoint, because volatility obviously is looking like this is going to continue for a while. And mm-hmm. so how as a lender, as senior manager, handle the profitability side of it? Is this a time to look at your cost structures? Maybe we need to retool and right-size our staff again? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's all the above. So one is making sure you've got enough priced into each loan to cover your cost to originate, right?
Sure.
you know, because, you know, that isn't the case everywhere, at least my experience all the time. You know, you might have some loss of your products, but at the end of the day, you know, your profit margin needs to be built in. The way to stay competitive is to get your costs down. So a couple ways to do that is technology. It's, you know, do you have the right number of staff? Is your staff as efficient as they can be? So that's what we're doing. We're looking at efficiency and we're looking at technology, you know, where we can improve the process. I hear a lot about AI and, you know, I think there's good strides being made. You know, what we're trying to do is, you know, chatbots and using AI and chatbots and trying to incorporate those into the process where you can really help save time. And, you know, every minute counts. So our focus right now is FAS 91, cost to originate, that whole study. I don't want to get too into that, but you know, looking at every component and seeing where you can cut out of it to drive the cost down.
And so from a staffing standpoint, with some of this new technology, do you see it impacting, in other words, less people, or we're adding more people, or and then when you add volatility to it, where do you think the staffing side is going?
Well, I think you need to look at the success profile, if you will, of the employees mm-hmm. that you hire, right? So how sure. digitally enabled are they? How digitally proficient are they? You know, and sure. how can the managers that are on your staff, how can they start to think about ways to improve the process using technology? You know, not necessarily trying to dictate it from a top-down perspective, but, you know, listen to the people that are in the weeds every day giving you
sure.
ideas. Yeah.
And so when you see, and one of the trends that I see lenders doing, and I'm curious about your thoughts on it, they're moving to what I call kind of, or what people are calling a P&L model, mm-hmm. where, in other words, their margin is essentially theirs. And then the margin for the loan officer is really left up to the loan officer, what resources they want and what resources they don't want. Mm-hmm. Is our industry going to that? And I definitely see a fair number of lenders, especially on the independent mortgage banker side, do it that way. So how mm-hmm. do you kind of see that?
I think there's a place for it in every mm-hmm. lender's strategy, if you will. I think, you know, I look at that as another channel. Right. So if you got right. a retail channel, you got a third party channel, you've got a P&L channel. Not every sales manager will adopt to that. And mm-hmm. not every sales manager who wants a P&L model will adopt to a non-P&L. The more opportunities you have for salespeople who are entrepreneurial and want to drive a business profitability plan or drive a P&L, you know, they give me the opportunity to do it. It can be successful.
So what are the things, I have a million questions more to ask you, but we're coming mm-hmm. near the end. What are some of the things that, and again, this year looks like a volatility year for sure, that mm-hmm. are things that you're doing differently than what you might have done last year?
So, you know, going back to that FAS 91 study, right, looking at mm-hmm. all of those costs, trying to just make sure we're weeding out redundancy, looking where we can replace process with technology, you know, some managed services with a vendor that we, you know, have some components done by an offshore component with our onshore component. So helping to just drive the cost per loan down as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, this is part of our wonderful world of mortgage lending. There's never a dull moment, that's for sure. So any thoughts or a couple thoughts for our listeners today on things that they can do or takeaways that they should have today?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I was somebody, you know, listening to this and I'm in charge of a P&L or if I'm in charge of a mortgage company, you know, certainly being disciplined on pricing. Right, because you need to stay profitable. If I'm a sales manager, a loan officer, be respectful of the sense that you want your company to be profitable too, right? You know, you want the lowest rate, but at the same time, you know, it's not helping anybody as an industry that we're losing money, right? You know, I think mm-hmm. there were some profitable quarters last year according to the MBA, and in the fourth quarter it dipped into the negative again. So refinance as a strategy is not a good strategy. Waiting for that refi wave is not. I don't see it coming this year, Pat. That's just my opinion.
Well, it's my opinion too, but I have to say that I agree. It's a hope strategy, and that's not a good idea. So I want to thank you, Jeff, for sharing your thoughts. I have to have you come back. You do such a great job with this explaining, and I think we need to talk more about the FASB 91 and the cost to originate, because I don't think there's a lot of discussion of that for sure. There needs to be. And so I want to thank our listeners also. Subscribe to our podcast. We'd love to have you. So thanks again, Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Pat.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your team. Want more proven sales strategies? Visit patsherlock.com for expert resources, coaching, and sales training. Until next time, keep selling smarter and not harder.